to ask you to turn with me to the psalm we read, Psalm 37, and at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. The psalmist here, David, was found in that same frame as Asaph was in the Psalm 73. David was fretting himself because of evildoers, because of the workers of iniquity, because, like Asaph, he looked around and he could see how the world lived and how they seemed to have everything going their way. That's how it appeared to him. And Asaph said, they do not have the troubles that other men have. They do not seem to have the things that the Lord's people do have to bear. But you see, they looked around and they began to fret because they thought their lot was harder than others. And it is so, isn't it, if we look around the world and we view our own circumstances and compare them with the world, and we are left in a carnal state, we begin to fret, complain, to murmur. And we are not alone in this, are we? Because if we go back into the word of God, the Israelites murmured and they complained. But it's a sad thing, isn't it, when we're left to fret and to murmur and to complain. But that was the malady. That was the sickness. That was what rose up out of the flesh. But there is a remedy. A remedy for the sickness. And it is in this word which I've read before you. And, of course, in the other 4 points, 4 words, which the Lord has given. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And rest in the Lord. See, when the Lord is in it, when the Lord is there, then there is that sweet spirit, isn't there? Spirit that flows forth, which enters into the heart. And there was a drawing near of a poor sinner unto the Lord, who says to him, trust in the Lord, trust in me. Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in anything in this world. Because all things in this world are passing away. All things in this world will one day be no more forever. But trust in the Lord who lives forever. The eternal Lord. The Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord who is above all things, who has all things in his hand, the Lord reigneth. Beautiful word, isn't it? The Lord reigneth. Then you can put your trust in him for life and for eternity, for providence and for grace, to trust in him at all times, ye people. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. But there's something that's joined to this. And we read in another place, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Those that do not know his name will not put their trust in him, will they? We look at it in this way. You have a valuable item. You have something which is priceless. You would not put it into the hands of someone you did not know, someone you could not trust. You and I have a soul, my friends. The Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. To trust in the Lord for life and in death. To trust in him for your salvation. Trust in him to provide for you in life in the providential way. To trust him because he will not fail you. Will never fail you. Faithful is he. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. A faithful God. Oh, says the word, trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Trust him because of his faithfulness. He will not fail you. And you look back over the pathway, over the years that have passed. You have to acknowledge this. He has not failed. We may have set our heart on something and been so disappointed when this has not been realized. When we have set our heart on a certain thing, a certain possession, and the Lord has denied us. But you see, he knows what is good, doesn't he? Like a good father knows what is good for his children. He does not let his children have everything they cry for, because that would not be good. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Trust in him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Oh, there are many things, aren't there, to delight in. In the Lord. Can you delight yourself in the things of the world? They may give a certain pleasure to the flesh, but those pleasures do not last, do they? Uncertain pleasures. The pleasures that the worldling seeks after, which gratify the flesh only. Are these delights are spiritual, aren't they? Delight thyself in the Lord. His love, his mercy, his grace, what delights. When he spreads before his people a sweet banquet, and he brings them to his banqueting house, and his banner over them is love. When he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing upon them. And like David, their cup runneth over. They flow down before him to his goodness. And like David, they have to go in before him when the Lord has spoken to David of all that which was to come, and his sweet promises, and making known to David the Lord's goodness. And David went in and sat before the Lord, and he was so broken down, wasn't he, before the Lord? Who am I, Lord? What am I that thou hast brought me hitherto? Why me, Lord? Thou hast brought me hitherto. David raised up from the sheepcote, that humble beginning, looking after the flock. David remembered the Lord's goodness to him when he went out and slew the bear and the lion who come to prey upon the flock. And his great goodness to him when, as a youth, he went out before the giant Goliath of Gath. He went out, didn't he? Not in his own strength, not in his own ability. Went out as a poor weakling, didn't he? Armed with a sling and 5 stones. I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel. David went forth, didn't he? Then, and he continued to go forth in the strength of the Lord to make mention of his righteousness and of his own. The Lord was with him. The Lord began with him, and the Lord continued with him. And if the Lord has begun with you, he'll continue with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. The Lord spoke to Jacob, didn't he, in the wilderness where Jacob was alone. He laid himself down, and in his sleep he had a vision, a ladder which reached from the earth into heaven, the angels. The Lord was above it, and the Lord spoke to him, gave him a word, lo, I'm with you. Behold, I am with you. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I am. The I am who is with his people and will be with them. With Jacob, yes. With Jacob right through to the end. And his varied life and experiences. Things did not always go right, did they? And they didn't always go right for David. Not as they viewed it. But things were going right according to God. According to God's plans and purposes. Everything was in order, wasn't it? Everything was going right. Because the Lord knew the end from the beginning. He himself knew what he would do. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. The Lord is working his purposes out day by day. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Jesus himself knew what he would do. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then the fourth point is this: rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest there in him. When we are resting, we are reclining, aren't we? Leaning. And it's leaning upon him, isn't it? Rest in the Lord, leaning upon him. And waiting patiently. Dear David, in a psalm just 2 or 3 on, for, Psalm 40, he says this: I waited patiently for the Lord. What enabled him to wait patiently for the Lord? It was the Lord who gave him grace to wait patiently. He gave him grace. The grace of patience to wait. To wait patiently upon his Lord. Because, you see, the Lord has said, they shall not be ashamed of wait for me. Wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. He will perform that which pleases Him. He will perform that which concerns you. Wait upon Him. It's a daily waiting, isn't it? Blessed is the man that waiteth for me, said he. Blessed is the man that waiteth at the post of my door. He shall be blessed. The Lord's given him patience to wait. And he leaves everything with his Lord. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, I do not know what to do. You come to a place like that, don't you? Often you come like to that place frequently. Lord, I do not know what to do. What shall I do, Lord? The children of Israel, they came forth from Egypt. The Lord, by his almighty arm, brought them forth, didn't he? Raised up a leader, Moses, and went before them. They were being set at liberty. Liberty from those years of bondage, hard labouring under that adversary. Coming down to the Red Sea. There was no turning back. They couldn't go forward. Could neither turn to the right hand or to the left. Fears came upon them. What were they to do? What was the command? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so there is a being still, isn't it? A standing still, like Ruth, sitting still. And be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. There's a watching and there's a waiting. Praying and continue in praying. Continue to pray. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, do appear for me. So we come to this word, commit thy way unto the Lord. Thy way. Commit thy way. It's not the way you've chosen. Not the way I've chosen. The Lord had left us to choose our way. Where should we be? Where would we be this Sabbath morning? Wouldn't be here in Henley Chapel, would you? If the Lord had allowed you to choose your own way. And now there's a way, my friends. A way. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But the Lord chooses the way for his people. He chose the way for his ancient people, Israel. If you read that account, they weren't left to go their own way. The route was planned for them. And they had to walk that way. And they had to walk around about the wilderness. 40 years. If they'd crossed over the Red Sea and headed for the land of promise, they could have reached that land in a short time. They must walk around the wilderness. They must go to Sinai. They must receive the law there. And the Lord led them, and the Lord went, and they, you know, were provided for in the wilderness in a remarkable way. Manna from heaven, and the water from the rock which followed them. They did not lack, did they? There was a sufficiency for them. I know they murmured, they complained, they rebelled, and the Lord dealt with them solemnly because of this. But you see, the Lord made a way of escape. When the fiery serpents came among them and bit them, and many perished and many were dying. And Moses was commanded to make a brazen serpent and set it upon a pole. And they were exhorted to look. That was all they had to do, was to look. Many of them couldn't raise themselves. They were so sadly afflicted. But they were to look, and those that looked were restored. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he is lifted up, my friends. He is to be lifted up. Lifted up in the midst of the congregation, and lifted up in the hearts, affections of his dear people. It is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus, first and last. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. And in all things, he will have the preeminence. Jesus. Ah, have you a friend? Have I a friend? If you have Jesus as a friend, you have a friend indeed. You have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You have a friend who knows all about you and remains your friend. You ever thought of this? We have friends, and we're thankful we have friends. Friends in life. And who are our friends? Ah, you say, my friends are found in Zion. They are his people, God's people. My friends. But there's a friend, isn't there? A friend in heaven. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Commit thy way. How are you going to do this? How do you commit your way unto him? As you draw near unto the throne of Christ and plead that help from on high. Plead for the Lord himself to be your helper. He was David's helper. He helped David, and we have a record of it. How wonderful it was. David was a praying man, wasn't he? David was no stranger to the throne of grace and mercy seat. Place of prayer. How sweet are those prayers that we have left on record, flowed forth from his heart. And as you read them, do they find an echo in your heart? Do you see in the language that is used, the very language that is found in your own heart? David was in, when he was in a great need, when he was in trouble, when he was brought down very low, when he was distressed. I think of that time when we read of when he came to Ziklag and a little company of followers, and the enemy had invaded the city and carried away their loved ones and their possessions. Everything had gone. And those men who were with David, they laid the blame at his feet, and they spoke of taking up stones to cast at him. What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? Give me a sign. Give me a word. Shall I pursue these Amalekites? I'm so weak. I've only a few followers. And they speak of stoning me. What shall I do? Pursue, said the Lord, pursue, and thou shalt surely recover all. See how the Lord appeared in a remarkable way in Providence when David went down along that way and found one who was lying there, dying with hunger and thirst, was able to tell him where his enemies were. And David came down and found his enemies. And God fulfilled his promise. He recovered all. Not a life was lost. Brought it all back. May have seemed a strange pathway. And sometimes our own pathway seems very strange, doesn't it? Why should this happen? Why should this come upon us? What is the purpose? If everything was plain and smooth and easy, how frequently would you visit the throne of grace? Be honest. But when those troubles come, great and sore troubles, David speaks of them, thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again. You see, it's committing one's way unto the Lord. You have a burden. A burden. And the Lord's people have burdens, don't they? Sometimes the burdens are obvious to others, and sometimes they are not. Others do not know what their burden is. But this one burden which all the Lord's people have, and it is this: with my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinner spilt set my conscience free from guilt. What a burden that is. The burden of sin. We do not look at our neighbour, we do not look at another. Because the Pharisee did that. When he stood in the temple, you remember, began to relate to God how good he'd been, how generous he'd been, all the good things that he thought he'd done. Looked upon the publican, poor sinner, bowed his head, could not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but poured out his heart before his God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one was blessed? Which one was pardoned? Which one went down to his house justified? Which one sought mercy and received mercy? Why, the publican. A publican. Have you ever stood with a publican? Had to bow your head and cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Years ago, I was at a prayer meeting, and there was an elderly gentleman there in his 80s. He was called upon to pray. He said a few words, and this prayer was in the few words that he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The man had been in the way 60 odd years. He hadn't ceased, did he? No, that's how a poor sinner begins, and that's how he continues. Right through to the end. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Thy mercy. Oh, it's a theme of thankfulness, isn't it? Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song. Thy mercy. When a poor sinner venturing forth, seeking to commit everything that is upon his heart, you see, He can hold nothing back, can he? It's a burden. It's all wrapped up in that great big burden. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And in the Bible that we have, where we have a margin, it speaks like this, rolling the burden, rolling it upon another, rolling it upon the Lord. The analogy is this, isn't it, where one who is weak and frail with a great burden upon his back, he can hardly stagger along with it, and one comes along so strong, so powerful, and tells him, I'll take that, I'll carry that. It's not your burden, it's mine from now on. You know, that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. Think of the prodigal son who went off to a far country and wasted his substance, wasted that which his father had given to him. We have a picture of him away in that far country with the swine feeding the pigs. All the filth and the uncleanness he was in. Not a friend. He had plenty of friends when he had a full money bag, but he was gone. Not a friend now. And he thought of his father's house. He thought of the provision there. Everything that his father had to give him. And faith began to work in his heart. I will arise. I will arise. I can stay no longer in this place. I can stay no longer in all this filth and uncleanness. I will arise and go to my father. And I will confess. I will say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Yes. And you know, where faith is working, there is that unbelief also, and the one working against the other. In every believer there are two armies, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. And there's that warfare, that conflict. But what a mercy that grace prevails. Grace subdues, doesn't it? Grace subdues. And he arose and he came, he went back to his father, and his father was watching for him. Saw him coming and ran out to meet him and fell upon his neck. There was a time of love, time when the son was received by his father, the kiss of peace, kiss of pardon, kiss of peace, and that's the gospel, isn't it, as I view it. One coming with nothing at all, just his uncleanness, all his sin. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. This burden, oh, the burden of sin, there is a provision, isn't there? A provision in Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, said Jesus. Do not go anywhere else. Come to me. Why? He is the burden bearer, bears the burden of sin. I think I thought, you know, earlier on of the sacrifice, the old dispensation, and the lamb, that innocent little lamb that was taken and slain, and the blood was poured out. Innocent lamb, And that was the way, wasn't it? In the old dispensation, the lamb was, and it had to be, of course, a lamb without spot, without blemish. It had to be the very best. And how it would affect one's heart to see that lamb slain and sacrificed. We have a sacrifice to end all sacrifices, the Lamb of God. Behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold him. When John stood with two of his disciples, remembering Jesus came walking towards them, John spoke to them, didn't he? Spoke to them concerning Jesus, the Lamb. Behold, this is the one, this is he, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin, carried the sin away, carried the sins of his people away. There was a way along which he went, a pathway before him, and he went along that pathway right through to the end. He set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem and continued right through to the end. Why? In love. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Love them, each one. The Apostle Paul, you know, he felt, and it was shed abroad in his heart, wasn't it, by the Blessed Spirit, who loved me and gave himself for me. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You may say, well, yes, I've got this great burden of my sin, but I've got other burdens. The burdens in life, the personal burdens, family burdens, burdens in my daily calling, in my business, the burdens in the church. There are so many burdens, aren't there? So many burdens. So many things that in our pathway. But here is a word. It's a word for all cases, isn't it? A word for all. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I will leave off now. May the Lord add his blessing. Pardon that which is pure, I see amiss. Amen. And let us conclude by singing hymn number 277. 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide. May he teach me to resign. Hymn 277. Thank you. May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, communion, the Holy Spirit abide with us, now and evermore. Amen.